It's Wednesday, January 31st, 2018. Alyssa here.
And Chris, your host of the Utah Politicast, where we talk about politics in Utah.
Hopefully that's obvious. The Utah State Legislature did a lot of work in its first week.
If by working you mean arguing about which dinosaur is the best.
I mean, isn't that what your job looks like?
I mean, I'm not paid by taxpayer money, though.
Chris Stewart is a giant gaping bleep hole, as he might say.
Ugh, what a dork. And Utah Republicans may actually do something nice for poor people. Maybe.
Maybe give a little leg up. So let's get into it with headlines.
The Utah legislative session is mandated by the Utah State Constitution to only last 45 days. So legislators are sort of forced by this time constraint to focus on only the most important bills. Naturally, a bill that names the Utah Raptor as the state's official dinosaur won over all the less important bills dealing with trivialities like clean air or education or ending the opioid epidemic.
Oh my God. So you're saying that Utah representatives and state senators spent part of the first week of their legislative session arguing about dinosaurs?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure I heard that right. For the non-dinosaur enthusiasts out there,
I refer to them as bad people who are wrong.
Right. If you don't know what the Utah Raptor is, the Utah Raptor obviously is a very famous dinosaur named for the state in which it was discovered, Utah.
It is a badass dinosaur. If you can picture in your head a bigger, if somewhat slower version of the Velociraptors from Jurassic Park.
And add feathers.
I said it was badass already. Now, you probably think that Utah Raptor then would be already the state's fossil since we have a state fossil.
Or at least our mascot or something.
But
be the state something.
It's not the state anything. Currently, the state fossil is the Allosaurus.
Well, State Senator Kurt Bramble of Provo was trying to change that with SB 43, a bill he introduced to supplant the Allosaurus spot as the state fossil and give that honor to the Utah Raptor instead.
Bramble said he was originally convinced by a 10-year-old dinosaur fanatic, or as I like to call them, a 10-year-old, that a Utah Raptor was more worthy of the state designation than the Allosaurus, so he introduced the bill. But after initial publicity, he said he was contacted by a few paleontologists, and they talked to him a lot about dinosaurs. So now,
I just love this idea of like Utah paleontologist beefs. I just imagine this being like Kanye, just like, I'm gonna let you finish, but the Allosaurus had the best music video of all time.
Yeah, I do like it though, because I feel like it's a lot like, all I do is kneel in the dirt and get my funding cut, and you're going to take away the only thing I've ever had.
I also feel like Utah Raptor had its moment because it got discovered like right around the same time that Jurassic Park came out. The Utah Raptor, like we said, it's basically the Velociraptor in the movie. So I think it had its moment of fame for sure.
Anyway, the state of Utah has its own paleontologist named James Kirkland.
He's the official state paleontologist.
Exactly.
Okay.
And he is that because he discovered the Utah Raptor.
Oh, I'm looking at this. The main reason I am the state paleontologist is that I discovered Utah Raptor. Utah Raptor has been very, very good to me. I am the world authority on Utah Raptor. And I would say that this guy sounds like Donald Trump, except he actually has a whole career backing up his statements.
And a PhD.
Right. So it's not just like pure narcissism that this is fueled by. It's just like a valid statement. I'm enjoying it.
Utah Raptor has been very, very good to me. I do like the idea of him talking exactly like Donald Trump.
I'm the world authority on Utah Raptor. No one's ever known as much about. I'm just like, my Trump turns Bernie Sanders. I can't do it. So Kirkland said that his discovery of Utah Raptor was made in like 1990 near Arches National Park. A couple other paleontologists described the dinosaur and named it in 1993, and that's kind of like when they released their findings. Again, that was the year the Jurassic Park film came out. So yeah, but the Allosaurus was named the state fossil before the discovery of the Utah Raptor. I think Utah is where like 60 of them have been uncovered. So it's still a big deal for the state. And now I feel like we officially spent like 10 minutes talking about dinosaurs. But I also love that Kurt Bramble, Provo State Senator, is just like cruising around looking for like legislative ideas. And he's like, yes, 10-year-old. Just can't stop talking about dinosaurs. I like the way you think. This is where I'm going to leave. How I'm going to leave my mark is the dinosaur issue. Part of me hates it because I'm just like, there's so much more important stuff to talk about. But then there's another side of me that just, my nerd heart, my nerd mind is with the Dino Geeks. So I can't hate. Moving on to topics that are probably actually worth the state legislature's time.
How dare you?
No offense to dinosaurs. My day job focuses on personal finance. So whenever something's happening locally that relates to that, I tend to perk up. So Utah has a state income tax, and it's a flat tax. Everyone pays 5% on every dollar they earn. The problem is that flat taxes like these tend to be regressive, which means they hurt low-income earners the most. Those under the poverty line are much more likely to miss that 5% than someone making over the median household income, or, you know, even into the six figures. So that's basically what it means by regressive tax. It's flat, and it doesn't account for kind of those differences in how people tend to use their money when they have less of it, as opposed to people who earn more of a comfortable living.
It's the same idea as like a speeding ticket that's set at a flat fee, right? Like if a speeding ticket is always $75, then a person who makes $175,000 a year doesn't care if they get a speeding ticket, mm-hmm. but it really ruins that person who works two jobs and is barely making ends meet.
Exactly. Right? Yes. Okay. Well, there is a bill, HB 57, that's up in our state right now, and it would kind of be aimed at this issue, and it would do so by creating an earned income tax credit. It was unanimously passed in a committee in the Utah House on Tuesday. And, you know, most of you have probably filed a federal tax return, so you might be familiar with the concept of an earned income tax credit. Basically, it's just kind of a tax credit where it just says, the government kind of says, for low income earners, we'll kind of give you back some of the money you pay. And even if there are taxes, even if you make a low enough amount that your tax liability is zero, there's even a possibility that that this will kind of give you more of a refund. So you can actually get back money that you didn't even pay in taxes to begin with. So it's going to be a really big benefit for low income earners who kind of need that extra boost in their finances. They kind of need that cash infusion. So I think that this could be really great for Utah families.
Do you know what the earned income tax credit, like, how much do you have to be making before you don't qualify? Do you know any of that?
I don't know exactly what the cutoff is in the bill's current form. From what I found, it said that up to 25,000 Utah families would benefit from the new state income earned income tax credit. They could get back as much as $600,000. That'd be nice.
Oh, we should stop working.
They could get back as much as $600. But I think the average credit would be more like $240. The representative who is kind of helped working on this bill, Representative John Westwood of Cedar City, said it's a cost-effective way to help families that need it most. This is a tailored bill to those that need it most. So I'm in support of this. I think that if we're going to cut taxes, we should definitely start with people who are under the poverty line, which this is what that's aimed at. But when I was reading about this, it also seemed like, you know, 25,000 families is a lot, but it's not that much. And I would love to see a bill that did even more. I think that fewer people would qualify for the Utah earned income tax credit than would qualify for the federal earned income tax credit. So if you usually get this benefit on your federal tax return, you might not qualify for it on your Utah state return. So it's difficult. I mean, I wish that it would go further, but in its current form, the bill would cost like $6 million and it would take effect in 2020. So I think just getting it on the books and allowing for people to start taking advantage of this would be a good starting point. And hopefully, you know, if they see this helping people and being like effective, they'd be able to kind of expand it in the future. So House Minority Leader Brian King, he was one of those people who said that he thought that the bill should go further. He says, if anything, we're too targeted, we're too small. There are a ton of families who don't fall on that intergenerational poverty list that could definitely use help. Oh, that's another interesting thing.
Oh.
Is the Utah would use kind of this extra requirement that you would have like a family history of being poor. So not only would you have to be poor right now, but it's like your family's been poor for a while. So I don't really know.
We only want the poor people who've been poor for a while now.
I'm glad because it differentiates from people who are like, you know, I'm just out of...
incidentally poor this year.
Right. Or like young adults who are like 18, 20 and they just haven't really built their career yet. You know, it differentiates between those people. But who have otherwise had every opportunity and are doing well and probably have parents who are still supporting them.
My concern for the narrow scope of it is that like we have a lot of people who have moved to Utah for jobs and for whatever else. And there's no way I feel like that the state would be able to determine whether or not they were intergenerationally poor.
Yeah. So
like, we had a bunch of people move here when Katrina happened, which I mean, dates me a little bit. I feel like that was already, what, 15 years ago? It was a while ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, and there's no way that they're not calling up the people like the state of Louisiana and getting their grandma's tax returns or anything. So
that's like something that I'm interested to see. Obviously the bill's not in its final form yet. It's not in its final form.
You haven't even seen my final form.
Yeah. So I think this is a great move. It's a step in the right direction. And the fact that it has bipartisan support, I think is awesome.
Yeah. And so when it passes any House committee unanimously means that it passed a mostly Republican committee unanimously,
which is great. So I think it's like I said, I think it's a good starting point. I'm kind of with King that like I wish it went further, and I am a little questionable. Like this intergenerational poverty thing seems a little questionable. I'm very interested to see in like the final bill how they actually measure that or require people to prove it. But like I said, it's a good starting point, and I'm super happy. And if I were a person who was calling my representative this week or my state senator, this is probably what I would talk to them about and tell them I support it. If you support it, if you don't, that's fine. I mean, maybe just don't pick up the phone. But if you do, I mean, go ahead. It's fine.
You can send him a text.
send him an email.
So some national news broke while we were recording that FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe is going to step down from his post. And as of this recording, it's not totally clear why, but Republican members of Congress have been openly and just vehemently disparaging the FBI and CIA for the last weeks in earnest. And
pretty much since the new year.
Yeah. And it's pretty much just to undermine the special counselor headed by Robert Mueller. All of this is going to bring us to our Utah asshole of the week.
Bum, ba, da, bum.
Utah Representative Chris Stewart. He came home to Utah and he spoke on the Utah Senate floor this week, and he said
the real scandal.
Yeah, he was here to denounce the real scandal that law enforcement is, in his words, acting as political operatives.
He said, "We are unraveling or peeling back an onion there. That is extraordinarily concerning to me." He says, when it comes to the politicalization, which there's a shorter version of that word, but anyway,
whatever.
When it comes to the politicalization of agencies like the FBI, the Department of Justice, and frankly, in my opinion, worst of all, the CIA, where they have been turned into political operatives.
Anyway, he also said, you don't hear collusion anymore from either side of the aisle, because the reality is there just simply isn't evidence of it, he said. But the reality is not that there isn't evidence. It's that we have a name for it now. It's not collusion.
Right. Well, and it's like it went from general concerns about collusion, like did Trump, obviously Russia hacked us, did Trump collude? Now it's like getting very specific. To what extent did he obstruct justice? Is it possible he is money laundering? So no, there's no more. Honestly, collusion is a very general word, and I think it's where the concern started, but we're narrowing down on very specific misbehavior. Did you want to talk about how he started his Utah Senate speech?
Yeah.
He started it by just like going on and on about President Trump and his golf game.
He says, quote, halfway up the swing, he stops and he tweets something out. Halfway down the swing, he throws a toy out and the press goes running over there to look at the toy, and then he swings. And it's just about as ugly as you've ever seen. But the ball goes down the middle of the fairway.
Good Lord.
Oh, God. So the term washing his balls comes from golf. He's figuratively washing the literal golf balls here. He's just, barf.
Yeah.
The other, I'm going to call it unintentionally funny thing that he tried to be intentionally funny on this week.
You know what? You can make the case that it was so bad it turned around and was funny again, but I honestly don't.
It is creepy. Sad cringe.
It is hard. It is so cringy. Yeah, so the shenanigan that he pulled this week was that so there's a bit on Jimmy Kimmel where Jimmy Kimmel has a famous person to read mean tweets about themselves. Chris Stewart felt the need to take it upon himself. He went online and read mean tweets about himself.
Okay, this is my favorite time of the week when I get to read my fan mail. So if I'm ever depressed, I read Twitter. From Jeremy Carter, you need to just do your job and shut the hell up. Country, come on, man.
I think he says bleeping.
Like that? Chris Stewart, so not only a whore accepting blood money, but a cheap whore to boot. Now look, you can call me a whore, but dude, you cannot call me cheap.
Ugh.
All right, Chris Stewart, cowardly child murderer. Chris Stewart, you are a roach. Rip Stewart, you're disgusting.
Oh, it just gets so sad.
I don't know. This, like, honestly, these don't sound like mean tweets. They just sound like...
facts?
Like biographical facts.
When you brag about how much dark money you're taking right. from special interests.
You can call me a whore, but don't call me cheap. And it's just...
Dude, don't call me a cheap whore. I take all kinds of money that I can't trace back to places.
I like how he's like, you can call me whore. Don't get me wrong. I'm bribable, but it's going to cost you. I mean, that's basically what he's saying.
Do you care about the Constitution at all? You are disgusting. And the thing is, I want to respond seriously. He's like, hey, Kay, I defended the Constitution for 14 years, you loser. Chris Stewart, we're on to your scam. Rep Chris Stewart, stay away from young girls, perv. Okay.
No, I like how that one, like, stay away from young girls, perv, and he just reads it and goes, what, and laughs, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah,
why include that? That's not even a joke. It's just so uncomfortable.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, this is the problem with it, is, like, he's like, this will be a funny bit, but nobody vetted the tweets.
Oh,
and that's part of it. Like, part of the Jimmy Kimmel sketch is a bunch of comedians sit in a room and pick the meanest, funniest tweets.
Right.
He's just reading his stream in real time and coming up with, like, haha, you're a pedophile. And he's like, no, you are. You know, like, it's so creepy.
Anyway, that was our asshole of the week. Ugh. And wow, did he earn it? Did he ever earn it?
If you're not from Utah, or you are from Utah and you live, like, under a rock, the Mormon Church had a big change in leadership when their president, Thomas S. Monson, died earlier this month. So the new president is Russell M. Nelson, and everyone gets a middle initial. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, and despite the weird, like, nomenclature, like being called president, they're even called, like, council. He has two counselors, and they're called the first presidency of the church, and it's all kind of very corporate. They even all have do that weird thing where they all have a middle initial in their name. And despite all that, they're considered by faithful Mormons to be considered representatives of God. And President Nelson in particular is the one person authorized to speak for God on earth. So when they took their first public stance on a matter of policy this past week, it's a big deal because they've only been the presidency, the leaders of the church for a couple weeks. And this is kind of the first public statement or public stance that they've really made.
Anyway, it specifically calls on Congress to resolve the suspension of the DACA protections. They said, we welcome the sincere efforts of lawmakers and leaders to seek solutions that honor these principles and extend compassion to those seeking a better life. Specifically, we call upon our national leaders to create policies that provide hope and opportunities for those sometimes referred to as dreamers who grew up here from a young age and for whom this country is their home. They've built lives, pursued educational opportunities, and have been employed for years based on the policies that were in place. These individuals have demonstrated a capacity to serve and contribute positively in our society, and we believe that they should be granted the opportunity to do so.
And for once, I have no compunction by throwing an amen on there.
Yeah. It carries some weight. There's three Republicans in the Senate who are Mormon and who will heed this counsel, I think.
I would hope so.
Well, yeah, we'd hope so. But
Mike
Lee, Orrin Hatch, and Jeff Flake are all Mormon, and they all consider Russell M. Nelson now to be the mouthpiece of God. So I don't think that – I'm not suggesting that they will obey him over whatever.
Right.
But
what's encouraging to me is just the fact that the LDS Church is not always known for having progressive policies.
Right.
or progressive ideas. And I think that it has a very conservative membership. And the Republican Party right now is very anti-immigrant. So I am very encouraged to see them speaking out. Specifically, they say for policies that keep families together and extend like Christ-like love and compassion. And they even like recognize their immigrant history. You know, like a lot of the pioneers that came to Utah and settled mm-hmm. it were, you know, converts that were converted by Mormon missionaries in European countries and immigrated yeah. to the U.S. and then came across the plains and whatever. So I mean, I think it was great and much needed. I mean, there's 10,500 dreamers in Utah, but I mean that's thousands of people in Utah who
right
they're just their future is basically on hold until Congress decides what's going to happen for them in their right. future.
And it's a really stressful, I mean, I can't imagine how stressful it must be. So good on you guys. You did the right thing for once. Good job.
Yeah. Woo.
Woo. And that wraps up headlines.
The preceding podcast was a production of Chrysalis Media, LLC. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.